In this episode, we talked to Mark Goodman. He has an amazing story of forgiveness and the freedom that results from forgiving others. So if you're a Christian or if you're not a Christian and you have people in your life, especially family members, that you're having a hard time forgiving, I think this is a good episode for you to tune into because we really dive into that process of forgiveness in a real and honest way. Oftentimes, there are formulas for forgiveness, or people will just say, hey, you gotta just let it go. And today we're gonna dive into that a little bit deeper and to really talk about what it's like to act out the process of forgiveness. So here it is, check it out. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. All right, are we rolling? So Mark, when I introduce you, you're Mark, and you're the doctor of forgiveness? I don't know.
Okay. I'm not sure about the doctor.
The sage of forgiveness?
The patient.
The patient of forgiveness.
Absolutely. But the ability to share with others the power found in the freedoms
found
of forgiveness.
Right.
And it's not just the forgiveness itself. I always like to talk about the freedoms found in forgiveness.
Yeah.
That's really what my story and my mission is all about.
Yeah. Can you share your story and your testimony in 2 minutes?
I can try.
All right.
The short version is just got a wonderful life. I got a wonderful, beautiful wife and children, been big brother to 2 kids for 28 years, traveled the world. I've dined in the UAE at the palace with His Excellency and just in 2011 inducted in Canton at the Pro Football Hall of Fame as a top fan of the game, Pro Football's ultimate fans. But a lot of people don't realize that when I was younger, I lived homeless in the streets for almost a year. And eating out of dumpsters, know what it's like to dig in there and dig through the top and try and find that good stuff that's in the middle so you don't want what's on the edge or on the top with my brother and the soup line in downtown LA. And I have good memories of it because it was actually better than what I grew up with in Detroit. In a house that my dad, like many other stories that you've heard, alcoholic, but my dad was also abusive. He physically and sexually abused my older brothers. Pure chaos in the house. There was a lot of fighting going on, a lot of attempted suicides. My bedroom door had bumper stickers on it to hide the holes in it from brothers coming at me with a bowling ball or a bat or other stuff. So it was just pure chaos. And as a result of that, my brothers, three older brothers, all went through worse than what I did as the youngest. I remember my one older brother at age 11 showing me his needle to scare me never to do drugs or so many other events. As a result, the oldest brother, full of anger his whole life about what occurred.
Yeah.
My next older brother, roughly 30 years ago, took his own life and called me while he's in the process of doing it. And then one brother who's paranoid schizophrenia chooses not to take meds because when he does, it takes him right back to what my dad was doing to him at age 12. So my story is one of forgiveness, of instead of carrying all the right in the world to carry around that baggage to let it go.
Okay.
Now to share that, if I may, I'd like to share my dad's story.
Okay.
My dad's story is this. My dad was a monster, should have been thrown away in jail for the rest of his life. But age 65, my dad turned his life around. Came to know the Lord, sobered up, and turned his life around. The last 23 years of his life, my dad, the monster, turned into the most wonderful, loving human beings you'll ever meet. He met you in the grocery store, said, I'll pray for you. He wrote your name down, and when by the time he passed away, his list was forever. When he passed away, I was with him the last couple of days, and we laughed. Dad, you're the prayer warrior. In a couple days, you're going to be right there with Jesus. Let's handwrite it out. And we hand-wrote out that prayer list, only I said, I want my name on the top of the list. And he hand-carried that up to Jesus. I've had 2 dads, one that was a monster, and one I'm looking up to and want to be like. So his story is you're never too old. You've never done too much bad to find God's redemption, forgiveness, and redemption. There's always opportunity.
Yeah. So when we're talking to you about forgiveness, you're not just blowing smoke. You're somebody who's lived out the process, the act, and you're experiencing the freedom from forgiving.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And that process can be painful. It can be very painful. If it's done properly, forgive me, it should be painful.
Yeah.
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 Look, there is no shortage of books in churches that try and make it look so simple. Just give it over to the Lord. Just, if
Please.
You just forgive.
Oh, that's, yes. That just pisses me off.
Yeah.
Like, Doesn't tell it? Me how. I was sharing when I was in eighth grade, and, you know, eighth grade girls, we cry. They cry. They can't help it. The hormones, everything. And I was at the altar at my church, and one of the leaders came up to me. She's like, Danny, you just need to get over it.
Oh, boy.
And I didn't even know what it was. Eighth grade girl.
Right.
And I was like, but how? She goes, you just have to get over it. And I remember thinking that's the stupidest advice anyone has ever given to me. Yeah. And actually kind of pattern any kind of help I offer is you have to know the how-tos. And don't give me a cliche. Don't. Mm-hmm. So, yes, that whole just give it to God. Okay, but tell me how and sit with me while I'm sitting on the back porch screaming and crying because it hurts so bad and it's easier to numb in a lot of cases.
Right.
Look, so much, look, especially when we're talking about abuse, right? The four big ones, the ones three of commission, one of omission, of physical abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse, right? Yeah. And then the omission, just plain old neglect.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
When you're talking about that, there's good reason. I earned this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And often in churches, even within church people, oh, I've forgiven them.
Right.
But if their house burns down, that would serve them right. You know? There's nothing worse than, you know, veiled bitterness.
Yeah.
That's, look, obviously, you're still carrying this around.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm saying it's the freedom found in letting that backpack go.
Yeah.
Right.
And often, so many times, build a wall around them and live in silent despair. Mm. Right? Yeah. Put up a good front. Yeah. I did it for a long time.
Yeah.
And men, especially, how are you doing? Good. How are you doing?
Yeah.
Right?
Great.
Everything's good. How about them Falcons?
Yeah. Right.
Ooh, that was deep. And it's tough
to
open that and be transparent.
Yeah. A question I want to ask is, why forgive? It sucks. The process sucks. I'm doing fine just holding on to this anger. You know what I mean?
That's a great question.
Why?
That's a great question.
What's in it for me to let this person free?
That's a great question. Great, great. I went through that same process.
Yeah.
And we often think that by letting them free, we're letting them off the hook.
Yeah.
Right? The offender is, if I forgive them, therefore I've given them the okay.
Yeah.
And that's not what we're talking about. Look, part of this process of when we've been hurt is we build a wall up around us to protect us, right?
Yeah.
We build a wall around our children. I don't want my children to go through this, and I will protect them. And
build
wall. And somehow or another, if I forgive them by letting them go, then I've given the not only the okay, but I've got to break down that wall. And often that wall, I've lived with it so long.
Yeah.
See, often it is the results of the offense or the offender that is causing more damage than the offense itself.
Right.
Mm-hmm. After these walls, I have a tough time with relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I have a tough time with PTSD.
Yeah.
Right? Constantly aware of what's going around me.
Right.
So why forgive? It has little to do with the other person. You need to get this all out. You need to find that offense, that offender, guilty.
Mm-hmm.
But now I say, I leave it up to somebody else. I don't need to have revenge.
Right.
I'm not going to. It's that need to find the pain back again is what's holding you down. So why forgive?
Right.
It has little to do with them. It has everything to do with you because it's weighing you down and it's hurting yourself.
Yeah. Right. Like if Danny, you just interviewed a 12-step guy.
Yeah.
Barti.
Barti, yeah.
And part of the 12 steps, there's the making of the amends. Mm-hmm. And the amends process.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that, a majority of that is
making your list.
You're making a list and you're asking for forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also submitting yourself to the process. And what we're talking about here is when someone's offended you and you letting them go. How much, where does forgiving yourself fit in that process?
Absolutely. Look, when we're talking about forgiveness, there's forgiving ourselves. Right. Often, especially
can you forgive someone else without forgiving yourself?
It's tough. We're talking about is across the board, and there's the process is very similar. There's slight changes into it. Is look, I was wrong. I need to go in there and find the same thing. I need to open it up and admit to it.
Yeah.
The fact of I did fill in the blank. I did, yeah. And take own up to it. And when I say forgive, that doesn't mean that you're not taking away the responsibility. No. Right. Look, if somebody shot you or raped you, they still have responsibility to go to jail.
Right.
We still have to have a guilty verdict. It's trusting the revenge on somebody else. So when it comes to ourselves, that's often the toughest. Why is it that often it's easier to forgive somebody you hardly know than a loved one?
Right. Right.
Why?
Yeah. Well, and like the whole, what you're saying is often the ramifications, what happens after the offense. And I know
Absolutely.
For me, forgiving myself, because, you know, when something like that happens, when we have a situation that's done to us, that's not our fault. We are, you know, and a lot of people, I know I had a hard time labeling that.
Right.
But then my result is my sin. And when I sin afterwards and I act out of that, it was really hard for me, I know, to forgive me for what I did. Because it's like, I should have known better. I've known Jesus, da, da, da. So much harder to forgive us.
So wait, so I'm going to stop you. Because you said that someone offends you, okay? Now, if you take that offense, you internalize it, and it creates bitterness, and now you're bitter towards another person, you're responsible for that bitterness. You can't blame that bitterness to another person on the first offense.
Yes. Oh, and I was even thinking my self-destructive behavior. Like, handled it with my self-destructive behavior. And so going through and doing the layers and removing the walls, realizing, okay, the root cause wasn't my fault, but how I handled it was. Mm. And so learning to forgive myself because, oh, I should have known better. I should have handled it. I should have just let it go and give it to God, right?
Great.
Heck no, who was going to do it? Like, no, like, I'm human. And so that was really hard for me. It took years to be able to say, like, okay, this is how I responded. I forgive myself because God has forgiven me. And I am, you know, I am forgiven, so I am a forgiver.
Right.
Absolutely. And then there's even the tougher one is bitterness against God.
Right.
Why did that happen? Why do bad things happen to good people?
Yes.
Right? And working through that, and sometimes we don't have all the answers.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's still hurting yourself.
Yeah.
It's still a process of getting rid of this baggage that you're carrying around, whether you caused it, you were a victim of it, or a combination thereof.
Right.
You brought up a great point. I was a victim, and then I became abusive to my own body, to other people.
Yeah.
Right? So often it's a combination thereof.
Yeah.
I hurt you before you can hurt me, no matter who you are. Like
Right.
I guess there's something I've learned from living a healthy, emotionally healthy life, which I'm not an expert at. I've only been doing it for like 5 years. But what I've realized is that you have to face your problems, right? As a drug addict, as an alcoholic, as a sex addict, I would try every way to get around whatever that issue was. Then that would result in new issues that I would try to then get around. And it's this cascading life of dramatic woe is me events. When you begin to become emotionally healthy, you start going, I don't like what just happened, and I have to deal with it. And and sometimes you have to deal with it internally first, which sounds like a little bit maybe the beginning stages of the forgiveness process, right? Is internally saying, there's an offense been made against me. I need to deal with it. Acknowledging that. Well, what point when, you know, as you grew older, when did you realize that, you know, this is not normal? The way I grew up is not normal. I shouldn't have grown up this way.
It was a while later. I was well into high school.
Okay. Well, that's early. I think that's early.
Look, just for the fact of just the craziness that was going on in the house because we were quiet about it. It's a common theme, quiet about it.
Yeah.
So it was a little unveiling, a little at a time, but I so much held on to it, right? You brought it before. Why do I need to forgive? And I held on to so much and internalized so much of it. So it is a process, but it really comes down to that point. If you talk to most people and they say, do you want to? Yeah, I want to. I don't want to feel like this. Well, that's not good enough. If we open up, right? and open this Pandora's box, you're not going to like me anymore. You're not going to like what I see. I've got a dear friend in my football group, right? Didn't even know. Sharing a little bit. Mark, I had no idea about your story. She said, I want to share with you. She said, when I was younger, I was kidnapped over a number of days and repeatedly raped. Right? And we just cried and I hugged her. And it's like, I had no idea. She said, Mark, I get it. I know that if there's not a day that goes by, I don't want to think of it. He's in jail, but that I want something bad to happen to him. I get it. I'm carrying this around. If I forgive him, it's about me. I get it that God can help me. Mm-hmm. So, Mark, if you can show me a path, a way that I can forgive so I don't have to carry this around, a way to God, I'll be forever grateful.
And what happened was you didn't prescribe her of anecdote or formula.
No, there's nothing I can say at that point.
Yeah, or
they
scripture.
Say, just give it over to God. Galatians 5:1 says,
Lord, please.
You know, boom.
Right.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But just let me give
you're
some
gonna
hope.
You're going to have to invest some time.
It's going to be, and how badly, back to again, are you willing to go in? When I went through that process a number of years ago, I went back and interviewed my high school friends.
Oh, really?
I interviewed family members. Tell me more. And I had to get in there and interview my mom before she passed away. Tell me more.
Wow.
And let's get into this.
Yeah.
And it was ugly.
Yeah.
But just like a court trial, I had to go through and present all the evidence, including the defendant gets a chance to have a little passion to say, you were wrong, but maybe I understand that you went through a little compassion.
Yeah.
But we had to find a guilty verdict. The only thing is, I chose to forgive. And my job is not to provide the punishment.
Right.
And I'm free. And I have this beautiful life. And others can too.
Right.
By not carrying this around, but the willingness to go through that process.
Yeah. I went to rehab, and in rehab, I determined that my drug abuse was a result of, it was a spiritual problem I had, right? So I had already acknowledged who I was in God and kind of went back to the lifestyle of drugs and alcohol. Mm-hmm. And so what I realized was it was the result of trying to live like I wasn't a child of God. And in that, I had a lot of unforgiveness for people in my life. And what I found the most freedom in rehab, I can remember to this day, the exact time when I prayed and I really had gone through the process. This is probably 5 weeks in to an intense program, saying, okay, you know what, God, I'm giving this to you. Mm-hmm. And what felt like this giant boulder, you know, with my yokes just like holding it, turned into this, it was this little thing. It was this visual process, you know? I'm just kind of hyper-spiritual here, but...
Yeah.
And I handed off something that was this small because to a higher power, who mine is Jesus,
right?
That ain't nothing. Yeah. Got that, no problem. You were carrying that. Sometimes I think of Jesus kind of going, man, why you keep picking that up, dude? I got that. That's my bag. Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
As long as you're allowing yourself to be the victim of all this, you'll always be the victim. You'll always be in the passenger seat. Here's the irony of it. Anybody who's a golfer and understands that if you want to hit it to curve left, you hit it to the right and curves left. A lot of things in life just seems backwards to what it seems.
Yeah.
That by giving it up to higher power, and again, mine is Jesus as well, and how people that are non-believers can get through the high trauma stuff without handing it over to the ultimate judge to be the judge.
Yeah.
Provide the judgment, I have no idea, but
right. It
has happened. But the ability to hand that over and say, I give up on this.
Yes.
I give it up.
Yeah.
I release it.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, it gives you the power to have a life again and break down those walls.
Yeah.
Well, Thank you.
I think, you know, you're talking about going through and forgiving some of the worst possible things, you know, and I think people have this order of, well, I can forgive that, mm-hmm. but that's unforgivable. We're not going to forgive that, right? And what do you say to somebody who's in that situation that says, like, I can forgive the guy who cut me off in traffic or the barista who made me the wrong order, but, you know, my dad for being a cocaine dealer, I'm not going to forgive him for that because that was wrong.
Start the process.
Yeah.
Do you have the right to feel that way?
Right.
Yeah, absolutely you do. Yeah. And I am not going to take that right. You have every right to feel that way.
Right.
I will not deny that fact.
Wow.
Right?
It's your right.
It's yours. Yeah. It's yours. And you can carry that bag for the rest of your life till you die if you want to. Okay? Your shoulders start getting, when your shoulders start getting tired,
right,
and you start affecting, you're tired of affecting the relationships that are around you.
Yeah.
When you're ready to release that, let's talk.
Wow.
Because so many people take that out of the grave. So many people take right to suicide or to drugs or to alcohol or to divorce,
mm-hmm.
right? So why, it has, as long as you keep focusing on that, what happened to me, the event, God, the offender, as long as your focus is on that, you're going to be stuck carrying around that bag.
Right.
That's interesting, because with me and my forgiveness, it was completely different. It was more of the, since I am forgiven, I don't have a right to... not forgive you, not as from a legalistic point of view, but in light of the cross and in light of when I sat and looked at me, sinner, who I am, and the fact that without him I was dead, I was an enemy of God, right, as Paul says. And in light of the fact that God has forgiven me, who am I not to forgive anybody else?
That is so true.
And it was coming face to face with my own sin was the only way that I can let things go is being like, I can't. If I truly believe in the cross, if I truly believe that I'm forgiven, which, you know, there are times I don't feel like I am, but if I truly believe that I am, then how am I going to withhold that from somebody else? Because I've been forgiven.
Absolutely. And my answer to that is this. That is correct. And now that's how I feel.
Yeah.
When you're in the middle of it.
Yes.
When you're in the middle of it, have, I say those words, I am going to alienate you. You don't get it.
Yeah.
You don't know what I've been through.
Yes.
I believe in forgiveness. I believe in it. But.
Right.
You don't know what happened to me, and I'm hanging on to this one.
Yeah.
Right.
You come in with that message. And so I say is, yes, if you want to, I can't come in and take that away from you. You're the only person that says, just like Christ forgave us for stuff a lot worse than what happened to you.
Yeah.
Right.
Right? You can release that and find the freedom found in forgiveness.
Or you can hold on to it. Like
or you can hold on to it.
Right.
That was a great one, by the way.
Thanks.
That was good.
Was, I like the differentiate the different paths and how you communicate to someone.
That's correct. And I always have a tough time because I get asked the question is, can you have forgiveness without God? That's a tough question.
Yeah.
And I can't say that you can't because it's happened.
Yeah.
Right? There's stories out there. You can't deny.
Yeah. The reality.
But man, what a...
Well, you can forgive without acknowledging God, but I think that the creator in you, you know, it's you know what I mean?
Right, great.
Whether or not you're saying
great,
it was
God. But as a non-believer, can I forgive somebody who shot my daughter? Well, there are stories out there.
Yeah.
That they're doing speaking tours together. And so there are some amazing stories, but they're rare.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Not squirrel, an actual squirrel just distracted me.
Okay, so for a second here, I want to talk to other believers, Christians, all right? Because the act of forgiveness, the process of forgiveness, if you believe in Jesus, you believe he was who he said he was, then this is a non-negotiable term. He was pretty clear about this.
Pretty clear,
You got to forgive people. And even when his disciples are like, well, you know, earlier he was talking about having to forgive people. I'm just saying, like, how really do I got to forgive people? And then what if someone does it like 10 times in a row? He's like, yeah, you need to forgive them 10 times in a row.
Yeah.
I have tried to live that. And that's not easy.
Yeah.
That's hard because you're talking about, okay, hey, here's this huge event that happened and reconciling with that. Now you move forward, right? It's not like the world stops offending you and people stop being jerks to you.
Cutting you off and...
Yeah. Or relationships at work or whatever, right? You still have to act this out and live this, right? So how do you apply this day to day? And we're talking to the believer. We're talking to the person that says, you know what? Yeah, Jesus is my Lord. So what do you say to that person who, man, you got to deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't go to sleep at night
mm-hmm.
without dealing with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it starts off right off the bat as he without sin cast the first stone.
Right.
Right. We often, sometimes we know we do and sometimes we don't,
yeah,
hurt others that are around us.
Yeah.
We're human beings. And so Christ, the central story there is about grace.
Yeah.
And once you really, we throw that term around a lot, but once we understand really the power of grace,
yeah,
applied to us,
right,
and our need to apply it for others,
right,
it's so freeing, and you just end up with this wonderful life. That's why I just want to keep on coming back.
That's great you said, because when I hear the word forgiveness, I think of a judicial forgiveness.
Uh-huh. That's correct.
But what you're saying is Jesus is not talking about judicial forgiveness.
He's not talking about judicial forgiveness.
He's talking about grace.
It's talking about grace. This
and
just love.
Yeah.
What is
right?
grace?
What
just
is
for
it?
Anyone who's watching it who doesn't understand.
Or mercy. What? Well, this section is for the Christians. And if I got to explain grace to a Christian.
He's yeah. judging you and calling you a heretic, right?
Totally right. I don't earn it.
This
I don't
is the Christian
it.
Portion of the show. Just
if you don't understand what grace like is, you're not allowed to watch it.
Okay.
That's
yes.
Got to turn off now.
So yeah, but I mean, for someone, I mean, because I think we were talking about yesterday. We started a book in my small group. We were talking about the gospel and misconceptions of the gospel, like what the term means.
Yeah.
So I think some people understand grace and some people don't. So just for
what would you say it is?
Oh. I was thinking, what's the acronym? Isn't there an acronym?
Yeah, forget the acronyms. Forget the acronyms. Just tell it from the heart. Just boom. You don't you have to be right or wrong.
Grace
just
is
how do you
not
feel
getting about what I deserve.
Right.
And getting what I don't deserve. You know, by the freedom and the forgiveness. I don't deserve it, but I get it. And then grace is also, a lot of times, he takes away the consequences. Like, I deserve separation from him. But he gives me forgiveness. Okay.
It is, that is exactly, it is by the pure definition of forgiveness, and that in the best case, and that is, I've done wrong, you are guilty, but you know what? I totally let this go. I don't deserve it.
Yeah.
I haven't earned it.
Yes. It's when I got it. I got pulled over. It's when I had my Jeep. It was a beautiful day, and I was driving way too fast on this road, And I used to be a very fast driver, and I have intentionally slowed down, but I was speeding. I was probably going 60 something in a 45.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get pulled over, and he's like, ma'am, I'm like, I was doing my to-do list. I didn't even know how fast I was going. And he pulls me over, and I just start bawling because, like, I've been doing so good. And I was so upset with me. And I remember saying, God, I know I don't deserve it, but please let me get grace and not get this ticket. The guy came back, just wrote me a warning, and I drove off. Mm. I think it helped the fact that my Jeep top was held together with duct tape and I had two car seats in the car. So he was probably thinking, I can't give this woman a $300 ticket.
Right.
But to me, when I think of grace, it's perfect. I deserved a ticket. I was fully speeding. And
well, let me apply a grace in a very close loved one of mine, right?
Yeah.
Conflict for years where this person, very close, uh-huh, spread some ugly lies about me, mm-hmm, that were not true. And I got, it wasn't easy.
Yeah.
And I applied nothing but grace to this person. And I just said, I am going to love and not judge. My job is to love, not to judge. The judge is over my pay grade.
Yeah.
Pure grace. Totally let it go. And after, in a period over about 6 months, we have a wonderful close relationship.
Okay.
This person is amazingly changed. Now, how much of it they have actually changed and how much is just because I applied grace to it,
yeah,
that I changed.
Right.
And often when we apply grace to the world changes around us.
Right.
It's our perception of
right.
it.
Yeah.
So what did that look like in an everyday kind of like, what did it look like to show grace? Because I mean, that's something that's so freaking hard to do.
It's so tough, but the more, often it's forgiveness and grace. Don't tackle the big thing right off the bat. Take a few trials, tackle a couple small ones first.
Yeah.
Because you know what? It starts becoming addicting.
Yeah.
Right? It's just this. Once you feel that freedom, it's kind of like people who love to donate their time, right? Once you start doing it, and you get this great feeling to give with no expectation of return, at some point you start getting so much out of it. Is it really giving for no no return?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
It becomes addicting to just living this life of for these freedoms.
Yeah.
You don't want to get back into that hole again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, recently I went to my wife and we talked about some of the things that happened in my past. And, you know, she made a decision. She said, hey, we don't need to go back there. we can move forward. And that was amazing. So later on in the evening, she comes to me and she goes, wasn't that great? And I was like, yeah, it's great for you because you gave the forgiveness. I'm still sitting over here going, geez, I didn't deserve that. So I'm not there yet.
Right.
But she experienced the gift of forgiveness, which was just released. It's like, whoa, you know, I don't have, that doesn't have power over me. Mm-hmm. She chose to not allow it to have power, and amazing, you know.
And back to the freedom again that provided in the relationships, and that wall was knocked down for, even if it was a small wall between us.
Well, there was a wall that only I knew was there. And it was, it's so interesting. It's like, as soon as I was like, hey, you know, this wall's right here. She's like, oh, don't worry about that wall. Then that wall's gone, right? I mean, wow. And to me, that's an example of us as believers. We got to be ready.
We have to.
Yeah.
At all times, at all costs.
Right.
Yeah.
Christ did it for us.
Yeah. Good. That's it for you believers. That's all you get.
He's done. But he allows you in the room if you didn't understand grace.
Yeah. I really like how you said that about, you know, that when you read that word forgive, it sounds legalistic.
It is.
And he's not talking about legalistic. No. Even when he's like 70 times 7, he's not literally doing multiplication.
Right.
He's saying like some arbitrary, he's being you know, like, yo, as many times as it needs to happen, you need to do it. And that's man, good. I think like if we could get that as like a group of people, do you imagine, like, I mean, that's,
how,
I think, what the early
how much more we
had.
Would be attractive as a church?
Yeah.
That people would be drawn to us?
Yeah.
Can you imagine what Facebook news feeds would be like?
Oh.
Like, that would be, because with everything going on, like, Facebook news feeds.
Especially right now.
Yeah. It's just, if we as Christians, I mean, because that's what gets me most about, you know, no matter what side of all the craziness you're on.
Yeah.
When you start, okay, forgive, like, you claim to be a follower of Christ.
Yeah.
And I say claim to. Mm-hmm. Because some people, I'm like, I don't see anything. Like,
yeah.
Well, then we're so judgmental against each other. You know, you're too charismatic, not charismatic enough. You read books that are, you know, boom, boom, boom.
You put stickers on your Bible.
Right, right. Oh. My own name, too. I put my own name on the Bible. All right, so here's a scenario.
Are we rolling?
Yeah. Two people are fighting. It's probably in a relationship. And this is like a catch-22 people get into.
Okay.
All right. Well, what you did to me is worse than what I did to you. So I'm not going to forgive you until you forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. What do you say, somebody in that pickle?
Look, if you're always waiting for the other person to forgive, right?
Right.
If you're waiting for the other person to give you an apology, then you're totally missing it.
Right.
You're absolutely missing it. That's not what this is about. Mm. What this is about is that Christ-like pure grace and saying, whatever was said to me, done to me, doesn't mean I'm not saying that you go back in for more, right?
And you don't excuse it,
you're not excusing it. Yes. This is not what we're talking about here. Yeah. You don't dive in, you know, hey, my husband is hitting me, I forgive him, I go back in for it. That's not what we're talking about.
No.
You need to take action so it doesn't continue whatever it is.
Yeah.
So back into that situation, whatever. I think what you'll find is in that relationship, if I start forgiving, I'm setting an issue.
A new tone.
It makes it difficult for you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm rising above it.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do they say in a worldly term? Success is the best revenge.
Right. Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
There's a reason that is popular.
Yeah.
Because if I rise above it, it makes it difficult for you to keep attacking me.
Right.
Yeah.
I love you, brother.
Yeah.
I love you. We're cool.
Oh, man. Come on. What is it? He who forgives first is more spiritual.
I've heard that one.
I've not heard that either.
Yeah.
Write that one down.
That's a Christian original.
He who forgives first is...
speaking of the legal, question about your father.
Yes.
Was he ever brought to court for anything? And no, how do your brothers feel about that?
Look, they've, of course, one has passed away.
Okay.
There's still healing going on in the brothers.
Okay.
The oldest one I hardly know and hardly known my life because of, you know, the anger issue.
Yeah.
I hear through the family that there's some real changes going on.
Okay.
I do know from my brother who's has the schizophrenia. just in the past 6 months. And he's starting to say mom and dad instead of Earl and Shirley, because he's starting to recognize that they went through pains as well,
right,
in a forgiveness process going on.
Okay.
So the story is still in motion. No, he never paid. No, he never actually said. He apologized a number of times. What they were looking for is, I'm sorry for specifics, fill in the blank. They never got that.
Okay. Mm.
And again, as long as they were waiting for that, I never asked for it because I forgave him already.
Yeah.
So if I'm waiting for him to say, please forgive me for, you're missing the point.
Right.
And did you ever want him to pay? Because, I mean, I know a situation where something happened and just not being brought to justice. And and did you ever want him to have to pay legally, or was it just part of the process and trusting God that he ultimately has the revenge? And as I'm saying that, I get convicted
of
the person that I have been really pissed at, because they should be in jail.
They should be in jail. They should, and as long as you're wanting to adjudicate that, and we're back to being judgmental, that I need to see this through, that they have to pay.
Yeah, right. And then it was covered up, and the people who covered it up, all that kind of stuff.
And then not just pay for what happened. Again, I've had a crap life in bad relationships because of this.
Right.
Not pay for just what happened, for what is continuing going on. Look, no, because not only in my case, my dad, because they don't always turn around, the offender, not only turned around, but I just felt as though those were the cards that I was played with, right? And I got a choice. And I can take responsibility to forgive and to move on and have this beautiful, wonderful life, which I have, or I can hold on to that bitterness and have it destroy me.
Right.
So my dad is a wonderful, wonderful story. But we all handled it differently,
with
different results as a result.
Yeah. So had you forgave him before he became a believer?
No. And I wish I could sit here and tell you that it was, you know, it just a matter of timing, and we were apart, and I, you know, lived homeless in the street and kept apart from them. When he was sobering up, started to help and get involved, and went to meetings, 12-step meetings with them, and but it was after that. I had to go through my process as well, and then open it up and interview people, and I had not gone through that full process. Yeah. So we did well, but didn't go through the full process.
Right, until he...
Typical thing is I had my wall up around me.
Yeah.
And I used to thank God for making me so strong that I could handle anything.
Yes.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
You don't know what I've been through. My brother called me while he took his life.
Yeah.
I've been in the soup lines. I've been taken to the back of a car by gang members and literally thought this was over. This is how it ends. It's all over. And 20 minutes later, they dropped me off in Detroit and couldn't believe I was alive. I've got no shortage of stories on that. And thank you, God, that somehow or another made that through. I'm most blessed person by releasing that.
Yeah. Right. But you kind of wore it like a badge for a while.
Oh, I wore it for a long time.
And I've been guilty of that too. A good friend, Dale, who's been on the show, years ago, when I met him, and we sat and we were talking, and we always have these deep conversations, and he's like, "Man, you wear your past like a badge, dude."
There's a difference between the journalistic part of it. I don't know if you know what I mean by that.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, the journalistic being is, you know, I was homeless, I had this happen, my dad was like this, almost as though I'm a journalist naming it off.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, no, this is my life. It was painful, right? It was ugly, and what did it do, and what did it continue to do?
Yeah.
Right? And it's that willingness to look at that, not what happened, but what did it do to me, and what are the false beliefs that I have, I see myself poorly.
Now, did you get counseling or anything to help you?
I got counseling. I went through North Point Community Church's Renew program. Uh-huh. I sought out mentors. I went through, read books like crazy, especially adult children of alcoholics, to understand why I did and responded the way that I did. I used to be in a restaurant. My wife would be able to tell me about the people behind you. Oh, you mean the four people, the guy's eating the meatloaf and the two kids are on the... Because PTSD, I'm acutely aware of everything that is going, because anything could blow up at any one time.
Wow.
Yeah. And I never understood that about myself until I was willing to dig in.
Well, so much of the reason why, you know, we do this show is because we're what I consider wounded warriors. People that, you know, I consider giving my pain purpose.
Yeah.
Right? It's a way for me to hopefully help somebody watching, help them from falling down the same crappy hole I fell down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Through this interweb show or whatever, you're going to see
it. Something will click.
Go. Yeah.
Yep.
But I also do a lot of other things. I spend time with people, and Danny, you have a group, and it's much like the same thing with you, that you've said, okay, I'm on the other side of this. I want to help people through this. And so you're working on a couple things.
Yes.
Yeah, a book and a movie. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Sure, that would be great. Through in North Point Community Church, part of it in the baptism, they have you do a two-minute video to tell your story. And there was such a big response to that story that it clicked with different people on this forgiveness subject that wanted to do more of a 15-minute YouTube version of it. And I got connected to a production company, told the story, and they said, no, we are not going to do a 15-minute version. This is way too big. We want to do a full feature film and documentary.
Yeah.
So they're in the process of working up of the script for the full feature film. We've already got an LOI from just a wonderful lady that played in the Hunger Games to play the part of the wife. And the documentary go with it. And then also working on a book at the same time, and putting together a nonprofit based on forgiveness.
Yeah.
So it's their job to do the movie and the documentary.
Yeah.
So if you go to their website of making fun of my last name, Goodman.
Okay.
So it's gone forgivingagoodman.com.
Yeah.
Forgivingagoodman.com is where it talks about the movie and the documentary.
Right. Yeah.
The movie is really going to let the story tell the story. It won't mention God, Bible, Christ in it, but yet they'll talk about the forgiveness and redemption, the power of forgiveness.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
The documentary is where it talks about where God is tied into this. A good portion of that we want to get to a bigger audience of believers and not believers, not be limited to a Christian audience.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
It's very exciting to see, to turn the story and reach a bigger audience. As far as we know, it hasn't been done from a Christian point of view, a message in in every direction. That is a full feature film, a documentary, and a book. Each one, the book getting more in the detail, the how-to, broken down into five steps of that forgiveness process.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And then you talked about the nonprofit that you're working on, and that's basically you wanting to create more content more means of people being exposed to this.
That's good.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And not just in there's the general part of forgiveness, but there's all these different sub-segments. We've, through your show, thank you, you've opened up those, some of those of being forgiven yourself, or often is for forgiving God. There's abortion, there is being the abuser, not being the being abused.
Right.
There's so many sub-segments. Mm-hmm. So we're breaking down into content, devotional, paths, breaking it down, and the support, because once you start opening down, breaking down those walls.
Yeah.
You need someone with you. You can't do it by
yourself.
Need
somebody. Look, a big part of it is to find somebody that's close enough that says, I won't love you less. I will love you more.
Yes.
The more transparent you become, the more that ugliness, I will love you more because you're sharing it, not less.
And to be prepared to be that person. And then someone tells me, I'm like,
ooh!
Wasn't ready for that. Like,
absolutely.
And I respond in a way I hate that I respond that way, and having to go back and be like, totally.
The power is in that transparency. The level of the willingness to be transparent is equal to the level of which you will find the freedom and forgiveness.
I want to ask about the difference in forgiveness versus an act and a choice versus feeling that you have forgiven someone. Because I think that's where a lot of people get tripped up. I know I did. Because eventually the feelings come. Like, I feel like I've forgiven you. But for me, it was a lot of, and I'm going through a situation now where what the person did to me pops up. I'm like, nope, I have chosen to forgive them. I have chosen to forgive them. And I still don't feel the forgiveness. I still want everyone to know how awful they are. But so, just kind of, when did the feelings of forgiveness come versus the choice of forgiveness?
The feelings come along the way. And you'll, depending on the level of the trauma or the abuse or the event. I wish I could tell you it'll never come back again. That would be a lie.
And
we still have that human element to it. God is just absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Right.
But I'll tell you what, every time comes around Christmas, because Christmas is especially painful, and it comes right about the time, not only what we went through, but with my brother's suicide, it's like a 1-2 bang.
Wow.
I still suffer with it, and yeah. I struggle. And so I'm sitting here as the doctor of forgiveness, or I think you came up with it, whatever you want to call it, right? And sitting here telling it about sharing this, and I struggle with it much better.
Yeah.
So it is a process.
Yeah.
Your emotions take a while, especially with something like trauma. There's a great example that, you know, if you walk into a room and you see a snake on the ground, you're like, oh my God, there's a snake in the house. But then you look back and you realize, oh, it's a fake snake. Mm-hmm. It's a rubber snake. Your heartbeat's still bumping.
Still.
Yeah.
Your emotions are still on edge. You're still ready. So where your mind is going, yeah. We've already determined that this is not
That's
a real
great.
Threat.
Yeah. Right.
Everything else in you is still going, now compound that by 1,000% and a traumatic experience of sexual abuse, mm-hmm. physical abuse that happens when you're young and you're still forming your brain and your mind. Mm-hmm. That's multiplied by 10,000. So it's going to take a while for your emotions to finally catch up to the decision that you've made spiritually and mentally to say, you know,
absolutely.
I forgive you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you may have spent a lifetime with this wall up. Yeah. Of reacting a certain way to protect myself and to be vulnerable. It goes against everything of what you set up against. To be willingness, to be vulnerable is not what in your mind says I should do.
Right.
It goes against everything in your conscious mind. It makes common sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I have been hurt. I need to be vulnerable. No, that gives you the power.
Yeah.
It's look.
Yeah.
It's an ever, but once you understand this process and they're broken down into a 5-step process, and one, not to oversimplify any of this because it's all tough, but that last step is a willingness to talk to others about the story and to be, so others know that I can't slip back into and have a person or persons that know that last 5%.